Our study this morning is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31, God's purpose of mutual edification in the spiritual gifts. The people Paul discipled in Corinth lived in a city that was known for its immorality, its alcoholism, and worldly pursuits. So the formidable influence of the city's culture on the Corinthian believers left Paul addressing aberrant beliefs and practices of an astonishing variety in his letters to them. However, in a vision Paul received from God as he ministered at Corinth in Acts 18:10, God told him, "I have many people in this city." So Paul was to keep on ministering regardless of the trials he faced there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 31, Paul taught God's purpose of providing mutual edification in the spiritual gifts in the church. So we view the passage for our insight, our application, and our edification as follows. I'd like to look to God in prayer, and then we'll get into His Word. Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity that we have of being able to meet together and a fellowship around the Word of God with liberty. We know that not every place in the world enjoys this for Christians, and yet we have this. We ask that we would take advantage of our liberty and to rely upon the Spirit of God to do what is pleasing in the sight of God as far as discerning the Word of God, applying it, using it, and that for the glory of our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 through 31. For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, "Because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body," is it therefore not part of the body? And if the ear shall say, "Because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body," is it therefore not part of the body? If the entire body were an eye, or were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. Yet the eye cannot say unto the hand, "I have no need of you." Not again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." No, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow the more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have a more abundant comeliness or attractiveness. For our attractive parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should all have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now are you the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Not all are apostles, are they? Not all are prophets, are they? Not all are teachers, are they? Not all are workers of miracles, are they? Not all have the gifts of healing, do they? Not all speak with tongues, do they? Not all interpret, do they? But covet earnestly the better gifts, and yet I show unto you a much more excellent way. You'll notice how I took liberty there to reinterpret those questions. Those are rhetorical questions that are asked, and in the Greek language, you know what the answer should be. If you're looking for a negative answer, you have what is known as a negative particle, may, which precedes the verb, and the verb has to be in the indicative mood. In all these cases, the verbs are in the indicative mood, and the negative particle is may. So that's why I took the liberty to paraphrase the question like I did, because to the people who were reading this or who are having it read to them in Greek, that's exactly what it would mean. So we'll get into this passage. First of all, 1 Corinthians 12:12 states the theme for the rest of the chapter. that just as the human body is one body, but it has many physical members that make up that body, and the various members work together, each one fulfills an important function for the entire body's benefit, so it is with the body of Christ in the local church. And Paul explained this truth in greater detail in verses 13 to 31 as follows. At salvation, the Holy Spirit spiritually baptizes the believer into the body of Christ, be he Jew or Gentile, bond or free, and all believers are made to partake of one Holy Spirit. Now, we do practice believer's baptism. After a person comes to know Christ as their Savior, we practice was water baptism, where the person is baptized. What that does is just demonstrate physically, outwardly, the fact that he's a believer in Christ. He's following the Lord Jesus Christ. But the instant you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, at that instant, God baptized you spiritually into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You were actually made a member of the body of Christ. Now, it's interesting. I've noticed this. When people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, as brand new Christians, they feel perfectly at home in a church. Have you ever noticed that? In fact, they long to stay there and be there. They're part of it. That's the Holy Spirit. He's baptized them into the body of Christ. That's why they feel they belong. Now, this body of Christ is composed of many parts, much like a human body. If the foot were to say that it, since it was not a hand, that it was not part of the body, it would not, for that reason, not be a part of the body. Once again, it's a rhetorical question. If the ear were to say that since it was not the eye, that it was not part of the body, it would not, for that reason, not be a part of the body. Paul added that if the entire body were an eye, there'd be no hearing. And if the whole body were hearing, there'd be no smelling. The body would cease being an entire body. And accordingly, God has set the members of the spiritual body of Christ in the body as it has pleased him to make the body of Christ a diversely equipped, functioning whole. Incidentally, this occurs in the animal kingdom. I learned this past week. I got a new issue of Answers Magazine from Answers in Genesis. We get vitamin D through our skin because our skin is exposed to the sunlight. Dogs and cats don't get vitamin D through their skin because they have fur. But the vitamin D is made in the fur. And the way the animal gets the vitamin D from his fur into himself is that he grooms himself with his tongue. And it wipes off the vitamin D and goes into the animal, and the animal maintains good. And of course, you need vitamin D in order to have good immune systems. So I'm fascinating how God has created man. We have the skin. We can make vitamin D directly from the sun with the perspiration and whatnot that we have. There's a mix there. And we make vitamin D, especially when the sun is high, not when it's so low. And that counteracts, incidentally, getting skin cancer. So whatnot. A lot of people, they feel like putting lotion in. Lotion inhibits you getting that vitamin D, so you're almost better off without the skin lotion. But nevertheless, these animals, they don't have that, so God's provided it so that their fur collects the vitamin D, and then they lick it off and it functions that way. So it's amazing how intricate an animal's body is made, as well as our bodies are concerned. Well, number three, the various parts of the body of Christ work together with an interconnected mutual dependency, each part contributing an important function for the entire body, much like a human body. In the human body, the eye cannot say to the hand that it had no need of the hand, nor again can the head tell the feet that it had no need of the feet, for those members of the human body that seem to be more feeble are necessary for the whole body. My wife right now is at home because she has a foot problem, okay? And that inhibits a lot of things. And there's a lot of pain that is involved and a lot of insomnia that goes along with that. So we're learning how important feet are. Getting healthy feet is very important. Similarly, in the body of the local church, upon the members whom seem to be less honorable, we bestow the more honor. For the attractive parts have no need like the unattractive parts do. And God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part that lacked, in order to avoid creating division in the body, but that all members should have the same care for one another. For this reason, if one member suffers, all the others suffer with him. If one member is honored, all the others rejoice with him in unified mutual edification. Paul then described the gifted members of Christ's body in descending order of importance, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. God has set in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, followed by miracles, workers, miracle workers, gifts of healing, helps, administration, and diversities of tongues. Now, this is not a complete list. In fact, if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, you have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers. And so, you know, the mix of the teachers would be in there as well. But the point is that there is a descending order of gifts in importance. And then followed by that, you have gifts of healing, helps, administration, and diversities of tongues. The reason Paul's writing this is in Corinth, they were elevating the gift of tongues way up there. They were the far more important, and people could speak in these other languages, and they were proud about it, they were boasting about it. And Paul says, you don't even understand gifts. It's actually one of the latter gifts as far as importance is concerned. Apostles are first, and then the prophets and whatnot. So in a series of rhetorical questions that expect a negative answer, that's by use of the negative particle may with the indicative mood of the verb, and that comes right out of J. Gretchen Machen's New Testament Greek for Beginners, Paul taught that not all believers were gifted as apostles or prophets or teachers or miracle workers or healers or speakers in tongues or interpreters of tongues. Now, since not all believers in the early church spoke with tongues, that gift is not necessary for salvation, as some claim. There's a group within the evangelical circle, not all, but some charismatics say that if you haven't spoken in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, therefore you're not a Christian. So you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Okay, that's what they say. But here Paul said, not all speak in tongues, now do they? It's a rhetorical question. So the people to whom he was writing knew good and well that not all of them spoke in tongues, and it wasn't an issue as far as their salvation is concerned. So we know from this verse that speaking in tongues is not necessary for salvation at all. So, yet they were to desire to have those in their local church who were more important gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:31, many charismatics have said, covet earnestly the better gifts. And they take from that that you're supposed to desire to have the better gifts, so you're supposed to pray for the speaking in tongues or pray and ask God to give you the gift of prophecy. That's not what Paul is saying. He says, covet to have in your local church those who are more highly gifted. Get the apostles and the prophets and so forth. You should have a higher priority on those gifts, because they're very important. They actually help to ignite the other church, the others in the church. See, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts as he wills. Remember, we learned that last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. But all these work at that same one and self-same Spirit who divides to every man severally as he will, as God wills. Verse 13, also, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink of the same Spirit. And there's another verse here that says that God does it according to his will. But anyway, yes, verse 18, sorry, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. He sovereignly decides who gets what gift, and he takes that person and he plugs that person into the body according to his will. It's not our will. The gift that I have, the gift that you have, is not the gift that we desired. It's the gift that God assigned us for reasons that are known to him. He'll probably tell us in eternity why we got the gift that we did, or why we didn't get the gift that we always wished that we had, or whatnot. That's God's business. All we do is serve the Lord with the gift that he's given us in the assignment that he's given us, the local church where he's given us, and using the abilities within that assignment that God has given us. We all have different abilities with the gifts that we have. You can take people who have the gift of administration. They have different fortes, different strengths, and they have different weaknesses from others with the same administrative gift. So you could have a church with four or five people with administrative gifts, but they have different strengths and different weaknesses. So God can use them often in a group for his benefit, and it benefits the entire body because you have this smooth functioning. It's like an engine. You have four-cylinder engines? You have eight-cylinder engines and whatnot. Each cylinder has a part to do, but you can't run a car just on one cylinder. It won't work well. Okay, but if you get all of the cylinders working together, all the plugs and everything, it's smooth. And that's what God wants. Everybody has a part to contribute. And as everybody contributes his part, the whole body hums. So the lesson is, just as a human body's many parts are each needed by the entire body, so the church needs each member. So may we function in accordance with the need of each member for every other member of the local church. This works both ways. We need to look at other people around us as necessary for us and for our edification. We also need to look at it. God, in his grace, has made us necessary for others. It's mutual. You have a role as an individual that everybody else in the church needs. Now, whether you feel needed or not, whether you feel useful or not, it's not the point. You have a capacity to influence others around you, everybody else around you, and they need it. By the same token, everybody else around you who's a Christian has a gift, too. That person is valuable for you and for everybody else. So what that does, God has split these gifts up because he's trying to temper the body, and he's trying to produce, and he's seeking to produce unity, spiritual unity in the body, so that we have the same care for one another. This is why the church, when it's functioning smoothly, this care for one another is something that shows up. It's automatic because people recognize how God has made us interdependent with one another with the gifts that we have. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the lesson. Doesn't have to be if there's something else that has come up.